that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another installment of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, unapologetic, unvaccinated, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I gotta tell you, this week I've become enraged. I've become enraged by the complacency of the American people and the incompetency of our presidential administration, which I get it. Biden is essentially a puppet. He is just there for show. He's a figurehead. We have other people behind the scenes running things. But what is happening in Afghanistan is beyond comprehension right now. We have to ask ourselves, at what point does the incompetency of this administration and this party make the majority of Americans say, wait a minute, I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. Because we have went way beyond. We have shot way beyond that point. If the job loss, if the inflation, if everything else didn't convince you, the fiasco in Afghanistan should. This should tell you that Biden and his cohorts, and a lot of people say Obama is the one that's running it. And, you know, the more I see what is happening, the more I'm not going to say, oh, that's too far-fetched. It almost makes sense. This is the man that sent billions of dollars to Iran under the cover of darkness in the middle of the night so the taxpayers wouldn't know it happened. And now in Afghanistan, we have a humanitarian crisis, and because of the actions of the Biden administration and the Democratic Party, we have a crisis on every single one of us here in America, because now the Taliban, or as Joe Biden calls them, the Taliban has our technology. So for today's show, I am going to talk about what is going on in Afghanistan, because I have a few wrinkles that maybe some of you haven't thought of. I'm going to throw those out there and see what sticks, right? Okay. We're also going to talk about this infrastructure bill. The more I read on this, the more I believe in term limits. I guess that's really the only way I can say it, because this is ridiculous. I cannot believe that 18 Republicans voted for this. And for a Republican to vote on this, you know they have been bought and sold beyond the shadow of a doubt, because there's nothing in this bill that any conservative or any Republican or anybody with common sense would say that makes sense, unless you're a liberal Democrat whose goal is to save the world, which doesn't need saving, but let them have their day, okay? It went through the Senate. Now it's got to go through Congress, and it's just insane. I mean, you are living, if you're listening to this show, you are living in probably the most unbelievable times ever. We have seen things that go beyond the realm of good taste. You have seen things that go beyond the realm of common sense. But yet, that's the norm now. I mean, it's all going to go away. Trust me. It will have its day. And the way it looks, it will become the norm in these United States for a while. But common sense always prevails. Because people who, just like Joe Biden voters, they voted for Joe Biden because he wasn't Donald Trump. Quick little story for you. This past week, I just had a guest of ours come into the shop, and I know who he voted for, because him and I, we get along great, don't get me wrong, but we are on total polar opposites of the political spectrum. And he came in and he brought it up. I choose not to talk politics with my customers because I don't want to offend anybody, except on this show. But he brought it up. He brought up the fiasco in Afghanistan. He's a former military man, fought in Vietnam. And he was showing me pictures on his phone of the helicopter landing on the U.S. Embassy in Saigon. And then he showed me a picture of a helicopter landing on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. And he said, "This is ridiculous. How can any man running this country screw this up so much?" He didn't use the word screw, but I think you know what he said. And I just looked at him. I said, "Hey, man, that's who you voted for." And his quote to me was, "That was the second worst decision of my life." And I had to ask him. I'm like, "Okay, what was the worst decision of your life?" He looked at me and said, "Marrying my first wife." Yes, he is a liberal, but he's a funny guy. Him and I do get along very, very well. We realize that we are two totally polar opposite individuals. But I wish everybody felt this way. It doesn't dampen our relationship. When Trump was in office and going full force, he used to come in and he used to complain about him. And I used to go off, "Well, look at how you had it under Obama. And now that Biden's in," when Biden first won, he'd come in and, you know, come in bird chest and got that chest out. "How about that? Biden's in." I'm like, "You be careful what you voted for, buddy." And he sees it now. And I am almost 100, I'm 1,000% sure that there are many thousands, tens of thousands, and, well, you know, he only got maybe 2-3 million votes total, but tens of thousands of his former voters are looking at this going, "This isn't what I voted for." It's funny how the members of my family that voted for Biden because they hated Trump. That's the only reason they didn't like Trump. He had mean tweets. "Okay, how you liking that grocery bill right now? How you liking the job market?" Which, the job market should be just exploding right now, but because the federal government, and it's here in Michigan, I'm sure it's the same a lot of other places, but we're still giving people money to sit on their ass. Come September, that all ends. And oh my God, these people are going to have to go to work, and they're not going to know what to do with themselves. I think I've mentioned it before. I've talked to a lot of business owners because we get a ton of them coming into where I work. And they tell me, you know, they need people. But they are now going to be very selective because the first question they're going to ask every individual, "What have you done the last year and a half?" And if it is, "Oh, I've collected unemployment and stayed home," they don't want them. You're going to see these people have a hard time finding jobs because there is no reason that you can't work right now other than the fact that you don't want to. And if I were a business owner, I wouldn't want to hire that person. That tells me that person is lazy as hell. "I don't want to work. I can stay home and sit in my parents' basement and play PlayStation and Xbox all day and hang out with my friends and smoke some weed and get drunk. And I got all this money now. Why would I want to work?" The day of reckoning's coming. And you may get hired, but you are going to be on such a short leash. It's not even funny how short that leash is going to be. You look at the manager wrong and you're gone. Because they need people. But they want people that are going to want to work. And all of these businesses, I've mentioned this to many people, all of these businesses that are giving, hell, we were coming back from a camping trip, my son and I, and we stopped in the morning at McDonald's and they had a big sign, $18 an hour to work at McDonald's. And they're going to hire these people. And they're going to realize, holy shit, our overhead is through the roof. And they're stuck. At this point in the game, to all these businesses out there, I say just roll with it. Roll with what you've got and wait till September. Do not give these insane hourly wages to these people that don't want to work because you're stuck. Wait till they come to you because they're coming. They are definitely coming because they're going to get that first unemployment check and go, I got to go to work. I can't pay my bills with this. And they're going to come calling to you, crying to you, I really need a job. Okay, here's minimum wage. Now is the time for these businesses to screw these people that have been sitting on their behinds because, oh, I just don't feel safe working in the pandemic. Or, yeah, I don't have to work, so I won't. Meanwhile, the majority of us that have been working throughout this whole thing, we need some leverage. And that leverage comes when these people start, they're going to start coming back to us. And they're going to come in here, yep, I need a job, and you're the one that I'm going to work for. I choose you who I pick to work for. That's the attitude these people are going to have. And it's up to the business owners to say, what have you been doing the last year and a half? You've been collecting unemployment for the last year and a half. Why is that? Oh, you didn't feel safe? Well, okay, well, I'm going to dismiss you right now and not consider you for employment because I don't need anybody in my company working like that. If you have that frame of mind, I don't need you. Now, you're going to come across people that have been working and got laid off and found another job and got laid off because of COVID. Those are the people you want. The people that want to excel. They want to do better. And there are people like that out there. And those people, they're gold mines right now. Because if you pay them and you treat them right, they will do anything that you want for that company of yours. But you got to weed them out. You got to weed them out through those kids that stayed home and smoked weed and drank their ass off and played Xbox and stayed up till 4 in the morning, slept in till 4 in the afternoon and did it all again. Thinking, this is great. I'm getting paid $1,000 a week to do nothing. It's ridiculous. And now is the time for the business owners to be very selective on who you hire. Don't just hire anybody because you hire anybody. Listen, these people haven't been working for a year and a half. And there's a reason they haven't been working for a year and a half. It's because they didn't want to. So when they get into your position at your company, you need them to be productive. Because right now, nothing is productive because we have such a worker shortage. These people aren't going to want to work. They're going to be like, oh my God, I got to put this thing here and put this thing here. And oh my gosh, you got another customer coming in. I don't want to deal with this. I should be at home playing Xbox, smoking a doob, drinking some beer. Why am I here? And these people will be a complete detriment to your company. You would be better off not even hiring them and being short-staffed. Because the people that are working right now are the ones you want. And the ones that have gone from job to job and every job they've gone to is shut down and I need to make more money. Those are what you want. You don't want these libtards, these millennials that I can stay home and make $1,000 a month or a week. I'm all for it. You don't want them. But, well, I spent 15 minutes talking about this. This is not what the show is about this week, ladies and gentlemen. The show this week is going to be about the incompetence of this government that we have here and how we get rid of it. You know, Joe Biden, I'm telling you, he is not going to last. We'll get into that. But my gosh, I'm going to give you an analogy that should hit home with you. And I hope it does. Because we are in amazing times. As I said before, those of us who are listening to this show right now, we are in unbelievable times where right is wrong and wrong is right. And I don't even know how to describe it anymore. It's all bass ackwards, to quote a famous rapper. So we're going to sit back. I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. And I'm going to play you a promo from Rick Ness. Rick Ness's show, The Stuff of Nightmares. Listen to it. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Because you've been around, babe. You've been around for a while. I'm trying to wake myself. Because I know that you're...
The Stuff of Nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I don't know, what to say. Tell me how you feel the same. Cause I don't even know your name. I know I want to. I saw you, there across the room. Doing things beautiful too. Finally my eyes met you. You came over, and I never felt feeling like this.
Okay, so prior to the break, I mentioned this analogy that I wanted to just throw upon you and see if you can relate to it. We as American taxpayers, we essentially own this business that is the United States of America. We pay our taxes, and we essentially invest in our business. In business might not be the right word, but let's look at it in the terms of this analogy. Let's look at the United States of America as a restaurant business. We have been putting our money into this, and during a certain, we'll call him Obama, during Obama's reign as manager of our business, we kept putting a lot of money into it and not really getting anything out of it. In fact, we were losing money. So we decided to let Obama go because he just decided to quit. It was his time to leave. And then we brought in a man by the name of Donald T. And Donald T, he was kind of rough around the edges and he was crass, but you know what? He streamlined our business. He created jobs for our company. And he increased the product. He made the product better. And over the course of 4 years, we made a lot of money. Unfortunately, we have other business partners that help us run this business. And after 4 years, because those business partners of ours, they didn't like how crass this Donald T was as a manager. They say he wasn't good for customer service. They disregarded the fact that this man had increased our profits and made us a major player in the restaurant scene. We decided to change over to an older gentleman who has been in the restaurant business for 40, 50 years, but really doesn't have anything to show for it. But, you know, he's a good old boy. And the other business owners, the other partners in the business, they decided, let's go with him. He's a good face for the business. And in his first week in the job, he eliminated tons of positions from our restaurant. And we're like, why? And the other partners are like, just let it, this is his plan, just let it happen. And over the course of 6-7 months, what we noticed is the product that we were selling, the prices kept skyrocketing, going up and up and up and up. But the product value kept going down and down and down. And our reviews for our restaurant kept going down and down and down because we don't have enough people to wait on the customers here. And the customers that are here, the product that they're getting is overpriced and it's not as good as it used to be under Donald T. And then we have a little competitor in the company that really was a blip on the map. It didn't even matter. You know, they used at one time under the old management of Obama, they were a player. But when Donald T, the crass, some people called him arrogant manager, took over, he took them out of business. They were no longer even a blip on the map. We kept expanding the number of restaurants we had. But of course he was crass and he might say something that might offend people. Most people wouldn't be offended by it, but some people they would be offended by it. So the partners we have in the business, they said we can't have that, and they decided to get this old good old boy by the name of Joe and his assistant manager Kamala. They chose them to run the business. And the prices went up, product quality went down. But then the competitor, we'll call him Taliban, the Taliban restaurant, which under Obama was a force. I mean, they took away some of our market share, but under Donald T, they had no market share at all. Well, we had restaurants in a certain area of town, and we just decided, Joe and his assistant manager, Kamala, just decided, you know what? This has been going on too long. We're just going to abandon all of these restaurants. We're just not even going to tell the people. We're just going to leave them to their vices. And we're just going to abandon these restaurants. And in the Taliban restaurant chain, they came in and they took over that restaurant. But we also left all the equipment for them so they can just jump in and start running a business right then and there. And as a business owner, you're looking at this going, this is utter incompetence. And some of the business partners are like, yeah, this is wrong. But there's still that little cluster of business partners that wanted good old boy Joe and his assistant manager Kamala. They wanted them in, and they're looking at this going, I see nothing wrong with it. We're losing market share. We gave up restaurants. We just gave them up. We walked out of them and left the doors open, and they came in with all our equipment and just started running things. This is an example of what happened in Afghanistan. And I know it's kind of a bad example, but listen, we run a business. We own the United States of America by paying our taxes, by investing in the United States of America. We hired Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the rest of the crony Republicans and Democrats. At what point do we let the incompetence go? How much incompetence do we need before we finally say enough is enough? You've got to go. You're fired. And I understand. It's a lot easier to just pull a manager aside and say, look, this isn't working out. I appreciate your hard work, but we're going to have to separate right now. I understand. You could do that with a manager. To do it with a president, you got to do the whole recall thing, or somebody has to invoke the 25th Amendment. I get that. It's a little bit more detailed. But here's the thing. It can be done. Why are we not doing it? This administration, and again, I told you that Biden, he's just a puppet. He's really not the president, trust me. There are other people behind the scenes just telling him what to do. But at what point do we look at this and say enough is enough? Because this whole Afghanistan fiasco should have been that point. And trust me, it's getting there. I'm starting to hear Democrats starting to say, I'm losing my faith in what this president can do. I've heard Democrats question his foreign policy. I've had people actually talking about invoking the 25th Amendment. What I want to play for you, it's going to be a couple minutes long, but trust me, it is definitely worth it. It's Sky Australia's report on the debacle in Afghanistan. Now, Sky Australia has pulled no punches. They have called out Joe Biden every step of the way. They have told the American people, you don't want this guy. This guy is crazy. And again, they pull back no punches. They are going full throttle at Joe Biden. I want you to listen to this report because as funny as it is at times, it makes sense. Listen to this from Sky Australia.
We all know that this has been a horrible week for America, her allies, and freedom lovers everywhere. And it's also been a terrible week for Joe Biden, about whom even Democrats are now starting to say out loud what we have been saying on this program for more than a year. What has happened in Afghanistan represents the worst humiliation the U.S. has suffered since the fall of Saigon or the Iran hostage crisis. But what is more disturbing is how Joe Biden reacted to this debacle, a debacle entirely of his own making.
Bushwhacking, horn swoggling, crocker crocker, he's gonna roll away, biscuit cutter. Now, who can argue with that?
Oh, wait, sorry. That wasn't the President of the United States giving confused, angry justifications for his failure in Kabul. That was Gabby Johnson from Blazing Saddles. Our mistake. Here's the President.
We've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
What did you think when you first saw those pictures?
What I thought was we have to gain control of this.
Four or five days ago? Actually, sorry, Mr. President, that occurred just 2 days before the president tried to justify himself to American ABC's George Stephanopoulos. But that's what you get when your commander-in-chief keeps track of the days by what color ice cream they serve him after dinner. Here's a bit more from the interview. You tell me if you can understand what he's saying.
When you look at what's happened over the last week, was it a failure of intelligence, planning, execution, or judgment?
Look, I don't think it was a failure. Look, it was a simple choice, George. When the Taliban, let me back it, put it another way. When you had the government of Afghanistan, the leader of that government, getting in a plane and taking off and going to another country, when you saw the significant collapse of the Afghan troops we had trained, up to 300,000 of them, just leaving their equipment and taking off, that was, you know, I'm not, that's what happened. That's simply what happened.
Excuse me, Mr. President, would you like some dressing with your word salad? That interview went on with, among other things, the president claiming that he was never warned that the Afghan government was about to collapse, meaning he was either engaging in a massive act of gaslighting, or, just as likely, he simply forgot. And there have been reports that the ABC actually cut some of the worst part of that interview, making that the best he had to offer. Now look, I'm going to be frank here. It's one thing to joke about Joe Biden's verbal miscues and corn pop memories, but the fact is, there's just something not right with the guy. Instead of coming out and owning this crisis, a crisis of his own making, Joe Biden spent the week cowering at Camp David. After the collapse of Afghanistan, Biden vanished for 2 days, only returning briefly to read a speech off a teleprompter and take no questions. Tuesday this week was also a wash, with the president not to be seen. On Wednesday, he read another script, this time about vaccine boosters, off a teleprompter, again with no questions from the press. When he did make an appearance Friday, it was to blatantly lie and claim that Americans abandoned by their government and trying to get out of Afghanistan were having no trouble at all getting to the airport. Does he really think it's just a matter of accepting the surge charge on a Kabul Uber to get out of there? Look, you get the idea. Where is the guy? And what is going on with him? It's no wonder that in Washington, rumors are beginning to churn about Biden's mental capacity and even using the 25th Amendment of the Constitution to remove him from office. But there's only one problem. Who would take his place? If you thought the obvious answer was Kamala Harris, well, not so fast. Yes, the word around Washington is that she has been sniffing around to see whether she could whip the support she needs among the cabinet. But if Democrats think that if there's a less appealing prospect than sticking with Joe Biden for three more years, it's putting Kamala Harris, a woman whose ambition exists in direct opposition to her ability, in his place. Plus, there's this. In the last election, the U.S. Senate went 50-50. Harris, in a role not just as vice president, but president of the Senate, is the deciding vote in that body. If she becomes president, then not only the Democrats lose control of the upper house, but they also lose their 51st vote to confirm a new vice president as required by the Constitution. So, unless Biden's decline becomes even more dramatic and harder to hide, and let's not count that out, the Democrats are stalemated on this one. Sadly, the rest of the world is now too.
Leave it to Australia to put things into complete perspective. You know, if it wasn't for the sharks, the snakes, the spiders, saltwater crocodiles, kangaroos, I'm sure koala bears will kill you. I would love to live in Australia. But I feel as if I go to Australia, I drop a couple notches on the food chain. So I'm not going to live there. But my God, they call it like it is. And this is how the international media views Joe Biden. Here in the States, we've got a completely 180 view, a 180 perspective of Joe Biden, because our media just lauds over him. Oh, he's such a down-to-earth guy. This guy is mentally incapable of doing this job. Now, granted, again, he is a puppet. There are rumors that are growing that it is not Joe Biden that is the president. He's just a figurehead. He's the one that goes out there and makes these speeches that make himself look even more ridiculous than he already is. But it's Barack Obama, his third term as a president. And let's look at that real quick. Again, this is the man that sent billions of dollars to Iran. Iran, who chants death to America. Sent them billions of dollars. In the deep of the night, just so we wouldn't know. Well, we found out. John Kerry was all over this. So for those of you John Kerry lovers, and I know I have a lot of them out there for some reason, this guy is a traitor also. There's rumors starting, and again, we're going to go way, way down the rabbit hole. We're going to go into, I don't even know, we're going to go into the molten core of the planet with this one, but there's rumors saying that Obama was a foreign agent. And you get what you voted for. At this point, looking at it, does it seem that implausible? You give a country that one of their sworn decrees is to wipe Israel and the United States off the face of the map. You give them billions and billions of dollars and just say, here you go, in hopes that nobody would find out. I mean, let's look at it. Look at it through without the blinders on. Take the blinders off and look at it. Seems a little odd to me. But Sky News Australia, they made a ton of very good points. Let's hit on a couple. This debacle is all Joe Biden's. Now, if you listen to the administration, they're going to tell you that, look, this is something Donald Trump already put into place. We can't override it. And I call bullshit on that. Because from day one, Joe Biden has been rescinding Donald Trump executive orders, left and right, to where Donald Trump's presidency is kind of like a blip in time. Nobody remembers it other than the fact that he was there, because none of his executive orders, none of his none of what made Donald Trump so great is even there anymore. So you're going to sit there and say, we can remove anything Donald Trump put in place. But when it comes to the Afghanistan withdrawal, well, our hands are tied. No, I'm not buying it. Donald Trump is, he is becoming more and more publicly available. And myself included, think that that is by design. Because all he's doing is calling out Joe Biden and his incompetency and the incompetency of the Democrats. Trying to show the American people that this is what you voted for. Look at what you had with me and look at what you are getting now. Donald Trump's plan, and I'm not a political figurehead, nor am I a military analyst. Anybody can come out and say, before you remove the military, remove the civilians and the equipment. If you can't remove the equipment, you destroy the equipment so it doesn't fall into the enemy's hands. I mean, that's warfare 101. That is withdrawal tactics 101. You don't remove the military and then say, all right, let's get you out of here, as you let the enemy come in and take control over the country. The people of Afghanistan deserve better. The people of Afghanistan, I heard the number of 20,000 Afghanistans were helping the United States Army as interpreters, informants, whatever you want to call them. You owe it to them to get them out of that country, because you can sit there as Joe Biden and say, look, we've had discussions with the Taliban and they said they're not going to kill people. They said they're going to be pretty down to earth. And you believe that? Really? There are stories of the Taliban who set a woman on fire because they forced her to cook a meal and it wasn't to their liking, so they killed her by setting her on fire. There's stories of the Taliban going door to door looking for people who helped the United States. Because you don't think the Taliban... Look, you can sit there and think the Taliban is third world country. They're smart. They knew what was happening because this administration announced it months ahead of time. This is our deadline. We're going to move all of the military out at this time. Okay. Once the military's out, we're moving in. And they, ahead of time, knew who were the interpreters, who were the people that were helping the United States. They know who they are. And now those families are in danger. But on top of that, more importantly, I guess not really more importantly, but on top of that, our military, who would defend the American citizens in that country, left. That was the design of this administration. Get the military out, and then we'll just move the civilians who have no protection. Because we think the Afghanistan army is going to protect them. Because the Afghanistan army was such a force to deal with when we went into Afghanistan after 9/11. Then, on top of that, this administration decides, we're not going to destroy, we're not going to remove the equipment we have there. You know what we're going to do? We're going to leave it there. So right now, I want you to listen to these numbers, because these numbers not only are overwhelming, they're scary. The number of U.S. funding to the Afghan army was $85 billion. And the Afghan army, once they saw the United States Army moving out, they just ran. Money well spent. 600,000 U.S. manufactured weapons were left behind. 75,000 Humvees, armor-plated vehicles, and 200 aircraft were left behind. And that includes the Black Hawk helicopters. And I've had these idiots come up to me, oh, Tom, come on, they're not going to know what to do with these Black Hawks. These Black Hawks are highly sophisticated machinery. They don't know how to fly them. Hey, dumbass. we trained members of the Afghan army how to fly these Black Hawk helicopters. The Afghan army ran. The members of the Afghan army, knowing that the only way they're going to survive is to be accepted and recruited by the Taliban. So, for those of you who don't think that these Black Hawk helicopters are not going to be used against Afghan civilians, American citizens, you're sorely mistaken, because those are going to be used and flown by former Afghanistan military members who are now a part of the Taliban. It's crazy. I mean, how can you not see? During the 4 years of Trump, we didn't hear from Al-Qaeda. We didn't hear from the Taliban. We didn't hear from ISIS. Because I've heard people tell me that Trump said, listen, if one American citizen is hurt by you, the wrath of God is coming down on you and your followers. They were afraid of us. They were scared of the United States under Donald Trump. And now, they're just waltzing in. And what's Joe Biden and the Democrats going to do? Nothing. Not a damn thing. Not only do we look weak in the eyes of the Taliban, but in the eyes of our allies, we have capitulated. We have just given up. And that is a common thread when a Democrat is president, is we just give up. We don't fight back. So our days of a superpower are officially done. There are many people that say we are no longer the superpower of the world. When Donald Trump was president, yeah, nobody messed with this. How many terrorist attacks did you see in this country when Donald Trump was president? And there's a reason for that. It's because he guaranteed them the wrath of God is coming down on them. You perpetuate a terrorist attack in my country and you hurt American citizens, every single one of you are going to die in a fiery, burning, horrific death. And now, it's just like Obama. Here's some money. You want some of our equipment? Yeah, we'll give you the equipment. We're not going to destroy it or anything. Just have it. 16,000 pair of night vision goggles the Taliban have now. That should scare every single one of you. We are accepting Afghanistan refugees, which, you know, I get it. We probably should, because there's a lot of them out there that need help. They're trying to get away from the Taliban. How many of those are actually members of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, that are here, that looked at an opportunity to get to the United States to cause harm and death and havoc in this country? It's scary. We are in, because of this administration, we are in more danger. You remember, if you were alive, you remember the images of 9/11. And when the second plane hit the tower, you knew what was going on. You knew we were under attack. You should feel that way now. Because the Taliban, they have weapons. They have our weapons. They were using weapons that were 60, 70 years old. And we wiped them out. Donald Trump wiped them out. And now, the playing field's kind of leveled. Because of the incompetence of this administration and of the party in charge. At what point do we fire this administration? And this is where I want to get into. You know, Sky News Australia said, you know, it might not really be Kamala Harris. It would be Kamala Harris. I'm sorry. I love listening. I mean, if you want the truth about what's happening, listen to the international media. Don't listen to ours. In Sky Australia, they'll call it like it is. But I do disagree with them on a certain thing, and that's that Kamala Harris wouldn't be president if Joe Biden was deemed unfit or he got impeached. There's only one way that we can save ourselves from being under the rule of Kamala Harris. And it would essentially be like that. Kamala Harris is 10 times worse than Joe Biden even thought. Because Kamala Harris, she may have the deep state telling her what to do. She's going to be like, F you, man. I'm doing my thing. I'm the first black woman president in the history of this country. So 60% of the people, the blacks and the women, they're going to listen to anything I say. She could tell you that I want you to burn your house down for the benefit of the country, and 50% of the people would do so. That's how brainwashed people are. But that's true. There's one thing that can stop what is coming, because Joe Biden is not going to make it. I'm sorry, Joe Biden will not make it through his full term because he's declining rapidly. He can't complete a sentence. And if he does, it's rambling and incoherent and just totally contradicting himself. Even the teleprompter doesn't help him out. But there is one thing, and this is proof of our forefathers' genius when devising this country, when creating this country. They put into the Constitution Article 5, which is a convention of the states. Now, what I'm going to read to you about what the convention of the states is coming from conventionofthestates.com. A convention of the states is a convention called by the state legislators for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution. They are given power to do so under Article 5 of the Constitution. It is not a constitutional convention. It cannot throw out the Constitution because its authority is derived from the Constitution. So in layman's terms, what it means is the Constitution's framers added the convention mechanism to allow states to bypass Congress and amend the Constitution if the federal government abused or exceeded its powers. The founders of the Constitution created the amendment process for four distinct reasons. Number one, to resolve disputes over its constitutional interpretation. Number two, correct drafting defects. Number three, respond to charge or change conditions. And number four, forestall and correct abuses. So essentially, if the government has abused its power, the Convention of the States is implemented. Now, during the first 15 years of federal operations, the founding generation adopted amendments for all these purposes. Opponents are in error when they claim that the only reason for the amendment process was to correct drafting errors. But now the question is, why call a convention of the states? And this is where the convention of the states, its genius is really rooted in. Why call a convention of the states? The answer is simple: to bring back power to the states and the people who are the rightful owners of this country. Unelected bureaucrats in Washington shouldn't be allowed to make sweeping decisions that impact millions of Americans, but right now, they do. So it all boils down to one question. Who do you think should decide what's best for your family? You or the federal government? Well, most people would vote for the American people every single time. Now, Article 5 of the Constitution gives us the power to call a convention of the states to propose amendments. It takes 34 states to call the convention and 38 to ratify any amendments that are proposed. The convention would only allow the states to discuss amendments that limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, impose fiscal restraints, and place term limits on federal officials. Now, since 2013, the Convention of the States movement has been spreading like wildfire. There are over 3 million supporters. They have signers in every single state house district across America. Currently, the Convention of the States movement is actively working on passing in all 50 states the Convention of the States application. As we stand right now, 15 states have passed Convention of the State amendments. That means we need another 23. We need another 23 states to basically overthrow our government. The forefathers, when they wrote the Constitution, it's almost like they were time travelers. They knew what was going to happen. They knew that there was a government that was going to come in and just abuse their power and abuse their fiscal responsibility. We'll get into that a little later. And they put in the fifth article of the Constitution that states that if 34 states come together and say, this is too much, we have essentially a convention where all the states come together and talk about it. If 38 of those states agree that, yes, our government has overstepped its bounds, then that government is null and void. And we put in a temporary government to just hold the line until we can vote for a new government. This is the only way we can save this country right now. 4 years of a socialist agenda, which is what the Democrats are proposing right now, is going to destroy this country and what it has always stood for. If you look up conventionofthestates.com, it will show you whether your state has already approved it. Right now, my state of Michigan is in the process. If you are in the process or have not, you need to start pushing to get your state on board with the Convention of the States. This is the only way we're going to save this country. It's a necessity. ConventionOfTheStates.com. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about this quote-unquote infrastructure bill. I don't even know what part of the infrastructure is part of this bill. I'm going to list real quickly for you some of the quote-unquote pork that has been passed and how it's going to affect you. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassus. I'll be right back.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot. Hey! 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 Hey!
Okay, people, before we get into this infrastructure bill, one thing I did forget to mention is when looking at Afghanistan, we have to ask ourselves, what's the diversion? Because right now, there is no way that any administration can be this incompetent. But yet, they are. So, what are they trying to hide? Now, there's word that the Arizona audit reports are coming out soon for the Arizona election, and that those are going to show mass fraud in the Arizona election. Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, they're still working on getting an audit done. So look objectively at this. What's the diversion? What are they trying to take our eyes away from? Is there another fiasco? Something that will make them look bad going on? Afghanistan could be it, because this Arizona audit, from everything I'm reading and I'm hearing and I'm hearing from my sources, says that this is going to be bad for the Democrats. Are they trying to divert their attention from this? Or are they really that incompetent? Because if they are that incompetent, God help us, because this administration has no clue. None whatsoever. And we are in for a world of hurt. But let's talk about this infrastructure bill real quick. It has gone through the House, and now it needs to go through the Senate. And what I want you to know is this really, truly had nothing to do with infrastructure. $250 million went for an invasive species elimination program that would target, at a minimum, cheatgrass, Vetinata dubia, basically invasive plant species are going to be put on this bill along highways and railroads. So they want to take $250 million to get rid of these invasive species, $60 or $50 million to fund studies on pilot projects to test the feasibility of road usage fee. Now, that is a big one. Ask yourself, how far do you drive back and forth to work? How often do you drive on vacation? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's in the bill. If this goes through, you will be taxed on the number of miles you drive every year. And they will put that into an equation. So if you drive 20 miles to work one way, you are charged a tax on 40 miles of driving every day. Plus, if you go on vacation, you're going to have to tell the government, I went on vacation to Florida and I drove 800 miles and here's my taxes. That is in the bill. $50 million to Centers for Excellence for Resilience and Adaptation that will study how climate change, and here's the big one, climate change. Because what this infrastructure bill is basically the beginnings of the New Green Deal. You know, when the New Green Deal came out, AOC came out with this great new deal that everybody's going to have or eliminate their own carbon footprint. And everybody's going to be taxed on everything, and nobody's going to own anything because the government knows best, right? Yeah, we know that not to be the case. This is the beginnings of the New Green Deal. This infrastructure bill, make no mistakes about it, is AOC's dream. Yet, she is coming out and saying, look, if there's not more spending, this is a non-starter. They want more spending on this bill. As if the American people can afford that. You know what? They have no problem spending your money. But God bless it, when you fight for reduced taxes, you're just not a team player. I work hard for my money. You work hard for your money, and I don't need the government telling me how it is going to be spent. An unspecified amount of funding is there to explore every opportunity, and I quote, every opportunity to encourage and support the pursuit and retention of women in the trucking industry. I don't even know how to respond to that. Does it matter if you're a man or a woman? Can you drive a truck? Maybe women don't want to be in the trucking industry. Why do we have to spend money on the retention of the people, of these women in the trucking industry? $2.5 billion for alternative fueled vehicles and other green energy improvements at public schools. $2.5 $1 billion to essentially make more electric vehicles and solar power schools. Again, Seattle. Again, 90% of the state of Michigan, solar power is not going to work. But yet we're going to continue to push it. $5 billion for alternative fueled school buses. What's the alternative fuel? One guess, electric. I'm really tired of this electric car thing. Because we as a family, we travel quite a bit. We go on vacations and we drive where we're going. Because we want to see the sights. We've never been to certain states. Driving to campgrounds. If I have to drive an electric vehicle, and my electric vehicle only gets 250 miles on a charge, but yet the campground that I want to go to is 300 miles away, or if the vacation destination is 300 miles away, I have to stop, find a charging station, plug it in for 8 to 12 hours, depending on the speed of the charge, and then drive the remainder of the way. And hopefully they have a charging station there. So I have to add 2 to 4 days of driving to my trip. So that 5 days, because it would take 22 hours to drive to Florida from Michigan, that would leave me with 5 days of enjoyment in Florida. Now leaves me with 3 or 4. Because I spend most of my time driving because our government thinks that electric vehicles are going to be the future and reduce our carbon footprint, even though that the lithium ion battery that charges this is destroying the landscape of our planet, and we have no way to dispose of them other than to bury them, which destroys the environment. Plus, the electricity is produced by a carbon or a nuclear generated facility supplying that electrical charge. The stupidity in Washington is unbelievable. They also want to add into that bill the adoption of the Digital Equity Act that aims to provide the activities that are necessary to ensure that all individuals in the U.S. have access to and the use of affordable information and communication technologies such as internet available devices. Let me tell you, if the government is spending money on it, the government's taking control of it. I don't want the government in charge. I mean, essentially, the government is in charge of the internet right now. Facebook, Google, Twitter. This is government control of the internet. You hear what the government wants you to hear. You have no opportunity to hear any other side of the story. Any other side of the story that you get is disinformation and misinformation, and therefore it's flagged by Facebook as false. I don't want the government controlling my internet. I really don't. This is how the government brainwashes people. When are we as a population going to say enough is enough? These politicians, Mitch McConnell, Susan Murkowski, or Susan Collins, whatever. When are we going to hold them responsible? Because they are supposed to vote as their constituents see fit. They are not doing that. They're voting for their pocket. Term limits really need to be an issue. There should never be a job description, career politician. Never. They should spend their 4, maybe 8 years in and say, I'm done. I'm going back into the workplace. Because when you have a career politician, that career politician loses all touch with what is reality. They have no idea what their constituents want because they've been bought and paid for. The lobbyists, the political parties come in and say, this is what you're going to vote for. Just want you to know that, whether or not you like it or not. And that's what they do. When is it when is the incompetence of our government going to make us say enough is enough? That's the question I have for you right now. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net or 1-989-607-4722. 989-607-4722. Contact me. Let me know what you think. When is this going to end? When are we going to stand up? Saturday morning. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Share the show. See you next week. Keep the heater just in case we have a boo-boo. Kansas City natives and we are a little boo.